Next, we have Shannon Lang, who has been with the Michigan Public Health Institute for over 9 years. In that time, she's designed and coordinated more than 20 projects addressing a variety of public health issues within local and tribal communities. Recently, she served as the local evaluation team lead for the CDC-funded Communities Applying Policy, Systems, and Environmental Change Strategies to Improve Physical Activity, Nutrition, and Tobacco Use and Exposure. For the past 7 years, her work has focused on supporting tribes and tribal organizations, carrying out community health assessments, surveillance, community health improvement planning, and culturally tailored evidence-based practices through a participatory evaluation, training, and technical assistance. Ms. Lang's areas of interest are in health equity, social determinants of health, Native health and wellness, and community-based participatory approaches. She's a Master of Social Work in Organizational and Community Practice from Michigan State University. Prior to MPHI, she worked at numerous community-based organizations serving diverse and underserved populations.
Thank you. Excuse me if I cough. I've been fighting off allergies or something. Maybe it's the dry hotel room. But I recognize I'm the last thing standing between possibly dinner or bedtime. And if you're from a different time zone like I am, you're probably getting sleepy and hungry. So thanks for being here. And I'll just tell you, I love and am passionate about this work and the communities doing this work. So I'm really excited to share our story with you. Is that better? Okay. I also have a little voice, so thank you. So I just want to acknowledge, first, I have no relationships to disclose. There's a team of people that have been working on this project I'm going to talk about over time. Everyone's contributed, and I wanted to recognize them first. And also a key partner, the Intertribal Council of Michigan, specifically the Maternal Child Health section under the direction of Elizabeth Cushman. And then a very special acknowledgement to the tribes and American Indian Organization in Michigan that have been a part, really the heart of this work. I really wanted to start with a story, but my husband will tell you I'm a terrible storyteller, and so that was a really bad direction to start from. But I think that this work can really be encapsulated by a story, and so instead I'm going to share some wisdom from an Ojibwe elder that I think gets at the heart of this. And the section of that, it's titled Full Circle, but the section is, "And the Creator gave humans the ability to have visions, to find their purpose or reasons for being here, knowing all along that people sometimes lose their way. Humans are imperfect beings. We all stray from the good path. Then we dream of better times and of a better life for ourselves and for all who are important to us, and we live to make it real. That is what makes us human." So I think that really gets at the heart of this community health improvement work. So MPHI is a nonprofit public health agency. We started working with tribal organizations in 2005, and our role was really specifically doing evaluation on a CDC-funded grant with Intertribal Council. And then over time started growing our role and working on more projects with them, and partnered with the Healthy Start program of Intertribal Council in 2008. And that work was really to help expand and enhance their work. The Healthy Start is a federally funded program that is in communities with high risk or high rates of infant mortality. And it's really service-oriented and taking a home visiting or community management approach. And they had been having a huge success in addressing infant mortality in the communities of Healthy Start, but wanted to have a bigger impact and also wanted to be able to show, build the evidence about what was working and how it was working. And so to that end, we, on behalf of Intertribal Council's Healthy Start program, applied to CDC's REACH Core, which stands for Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health, Communities Organized to Respond and Evaluate. So it was a funding opportunity that was planned to be 7 years. It was going to be 2 years of planning and assessment, 3 years of implementation, and 2 years of evaluation and dissemination, really based on these core principles of a community participatory approach. It ended up being 2 years of planning and assessment, which was very disappointing. But the work will go on. So we were funded, and the initiative was titled Healthy Native Communities, Healthy Native Babies. And you can see there that the work was really focused on targeting disparities in infant mortality among the participating American Indian communities in Michigan through policy systems and environmental change. And so the grant started in September 2010 and just ended this past September. We worked specifically with 7 Healthy Start sites, which included 6 tribes and 1 urban Indian health agency in Detroit. even though the Healthy Start program is much broader than that. And then it had a multi-level structure, which is important to understand. So everything that was operating in this program was taking place at a statewide level through a statewide consortium, and then also at a local level, which the statewide consortium's work had been really aligned with what Healthy Start was already working on through their local health system action plan and based on the results of needs assessments they'd been doing statewide. But what was sort of missing and really needed kind of beefing up was this local approach, was having each community be able to do their own identification of priorities and needs and what they wanted to work on specifically and how they wanted to get there. So that was a big part of this. I'm skipping the organizational chart for sake of time. These were the four goals for the initiative as a whole. You can see increasing capacity, engaging state and local partners, improving data systems, and improving access to and quality of maternal child health services. If you've worked with Native populations, or maybe just in local communities, you know there's really big gaps in data. And what we can't measure, and if we don't know that these issues exist, we can't address them, and then we can't really see how things are changing. And so that was a really big component of this, was working to improve that. Her logic model, for those that love logic models. So the three key partners, I just wanted to point out what the major roles were, because with coming together of a partnership, it was new for MPHI to be the central coordinating agency of a grant. Most of them, ITCM, had been the central coordinating agency. And so it was a real testament to the trust that had been built, that they were trusting MPHI to manage this process and the money and the reporting. So we really did the grant management. We also did the evaluation. And the most important piece was the training and technical assistance. So we trained on the assessment approach, which is abbreviated by MAP, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. Also on action planning and then evidence-based public health strategies around policy, system, and environmental change. Intertribal Council really, as the convener of Healthy Start, they led the statewide consortium. So they represented our initiative with other efforts that were addressing complementary goals across the state to make sure we were in touch with what was happening statewide and regionally. They also kind of took the lead in facilitating the statewide action plan. And then the tribal communities and the Urban Indian Health Agency, each coordinated, they were funded to coordinate a local consortium. So they engaged their local community members in not only their local consortium, but also in participating in the statewide consortium. And then they completed their community assessment process and developed their own community action plan. So MPHI, we follow this approach to capacity building in the tribal communities that's consistent with Chino and DeBrun's, what they call the CIRCLE model for building capacity in indigenous communities. And it aligns with some of the cultural values and things that are meaningful in indigenous communities. So you can see there's four steps. It's building relationships, building skills, working together, and promoting commitment. And each of these steps is consistent with a Native value. So building relationship really honors that concept of belonging, of each person knowing that they have a piece in this and something they can contribute. And you can see some of the strategies that we used in terms of compensating costs. We wanted to break down those barriers to community members being really able to actively engage in the process. So we wanted to make sure that there weren't any costs to community members to do that, so that they could attend statewide meetings. You know, if they were 5 hours from where they live and they didn't have to pay any of those costs, they could really come. Making sure that everything was tailored to each local community or each tribe. There's great variability among the tribes, and so we wanted each of the sites to be able to adapt all of the materials and process to their own unique needs and context. In terms of building skills, this honors the concept of mastery. And so this was involved with training community members through all phases. So it was really important that it was a technical process. There was a lot of technical skills and language, and you know, we worked through this process of getting everyone sort of interested in building skills that they wanted to build. And where they weren't interested in building that skill, you know, they asked us if we could provide technical assistance to get them through that process. There was also very clear role definition in the beginning, explaining to people, you know, what they could specifically contribute in more if they wanted to, and then shared decision making. We used a consensus model for decision making, both in the local communities. They used consensus, and then we used that for the statewide consortium as well. Working together honors that concept of interdependence, that we can solve problems better together. And so at the very onset of the the initiative, we established partnership principles so that everyone knew coming to the table what all partners were promising to uphold in that process. All of our plans for the initiative were reviewed and approved by the statewide consortium, and I mentioned the consensus model. And then promoting commitment was really about honoring the concept of generosity and of giving back, of being accountable and being advocates for what was best for the community. So one of the ways that we did this in a concrete way is developing performance measures in our plans, our work plans, so that we were making sure that we were very upfront about what MPHI was promising to uphold, what we were going to make sure to do, and then the information we gathered as quickly as possible, we reported back to them on how everyone thought we were doing. And then we also established measures for the initiative as a whole so that the group could see what was being accomplished in relationship to what we set out. And then, of course, this long-term commitment, communicating to the communities, because so often projects are grant-driven, that, you know, this isn't going to end when the grant ends, that we're really in it for the long haul, and that vision that they have established through this process, we're sticking in it with them to see it through the vision. So the assessment process that was followed for this initiative is called MAP, which stands for Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnership. It's an approach of the National Association of County and City Health Officials. I'm sure many of you are probably familiar with it. It's really based on sort of a local public health system model. And so we did have to make some adaptations that I'll talk about in a minute. But it's six steps, and it goes from, you know, the very beginning, organizing, all the way through that actual action, like getting to action. And along the way, you're creating a vision, you're doing some assessment, gathering information, identifying your issues, and then formulating your goals and strategies. So we provided funding to the communities to have a coordinator that could lead this process in their local community. We trained the coordinators and the local consortium members. They came to the training so that they would have people that could go back to the community and kind of be the core team for leading this process. And then provided as many resource materials and technical assistance as they want or as we could to help them as they figured out their journey to completing their assessment. Some of the sort of key adaptations that we made to MAP. So I mentioned that this approach is really strongly based in a public health system, specifically a local public health system approach. And tribal public health systems are very different in some ways. And there's each tribe has a different capacity and infrastructure. And so one of the key things we had to do was continuously work through this definition of community, because the MAP approach in many cases defines community very geographically, and lots of tribal communities don't really, you know, work that way. Their communities aren't, you know, clearly laid out by geographic boundaries or county lines. It was more about thinking about the people that they serve. We had to do some modification to tools and other resource materials. A lot of the language terms and concepts were very technical public health language, and so we were really working back and forth with the communities to provide examples specific to their tribal context, to take out what they are always reminding us sounds like theory. And, you know, when you talk about policy systems and environment, well, that's theory. We want something practical, like give us something concrete we can use. And so we worked through that process with them. We adapted the phase to each of the site's needs and then added, you know, MAP uses this very broad health, looking at health very broadly, all aspects of well-being. But, you know, they were maternal child health program staff, and so we were fitting that lens over it. So we'd say, well, what about health broadly? Okay, well, now let's look at maternal child health specifically. One of the concrete activities that we did that I thought I'd share with you is in defining the community, we did sort of a team exercise for each site where they sat together and identified all of the agencies and organizations that impact the health and well-being of their community. And they used colors and symbols to sort of lay that out, and they drew the lines to show the connections, the relationships, or the exchanges between the organizations, and used that as a brainstorming process for how they could engage all of those partners in this process. When they went back to their community. At the statewide level, we also went through a process of trying to make sure that we were really engaging local community members so that we had real representation on the statewide consortium. And then we strategically recruited key partners at the state and regional level whose goals aligned with the initiative goals in order to provide linkages. So again, we were in touch with what was happening with the state. So our visioning process on the right, it shows our vision for the initiative as a whole that was developed through a large group brainstorm process at a statewide consortium meeting. And then in the local consortiums, they used similar processes. They each had a little bit of a unique approach. Some of them found this to be very straightforward, and then others kind of worked through it for maybe the first 6 months and kind of went back and revisited it. But many of them really appreciated this activity, and it brought them together to sort of solidify what they were there for. And they defined in their visions, there was variability in how they defined their community, the sort of time span that they were looking at for this vision, and then also what their focus. Some of them said, you know what, we are so driven on maternal child health, that's what they focused it on, and then others said, no, we're really looking at health really broadly. So the MAP approach has four assessments, and we divided these up. Since we had a two-year grant, we divided it up and did two each year. And they had within this time span, really, to figure out how much time they were going to take to do each one. In the first year, you can see we did the first two assessments, community health status and community themes and strengths. Health status is really, NACHO has this wide, very long, broad list of health indicators. And when we looked at it, it was like very apparent that these data just don't exist for the tribes. And so to hand that to them and say, this is what you need to try to gather, and it was just extremely overwhelming. And so we worked with them to look at those and say, okay, what's relevant to you? What's important for you to know? And then what could we get that would be most reliable and valid? And so we condensed that down to just some key indicators that they could work in their community with their partners to collect. They found this very, very challenging, and it was the most sort of hard data, quantitative data. But at the end, when they figured out what data they had, it was also one of the sort of, I think, biggest areas for growth that they recognized. Community themes and strengths and forces of change were the two assessments that seemed most adaptable and sort of friendlier approaches to the communities, because you could use some of your qualitative or less formal methods for gathering that information. Themes and strengths looks at quality of life and sort of assets and issues that emerge from the community's voice. And they collected that information through interviews, community meetings, sort of like community input walls. And so that was well liked by them. And then forces of change is looking at trends, events, and factors that influence health. And so a lot of them did that through community consortium meetings, just brainstorming and dialogue. And they also liked that. They felt like that they could infuse their values into that. The local public health system assessment was by far the most challenging. The standard tool that the MAP approach uses is the NPHPSP, the National Public Health System Performance Standards Program. Did I get that right, anybody? And it's a really complex. It's great. I mean, it's really informative, but it's all about looking at all the essential services of public health and figuring out how you're doing and providing a rating. And it just didn't seem to fit. It wasn't intuitive to the communities. And so we said, okay, what's the essence of this tool? Well, the important part is really figuring out how are we doing in these key areas of public health? How are we meeting these public health services? And so instead what we did is we used FAB, the Public Health Accreditation Board Standards and Measures. So part of the Voluntary National Accreditation Program for health departments is doing this tool. And so it has tribal-specific measures that look at public health, areas of public health. And that tool was developed by a tribal work group and vetted, and so it was already sort of adapted. And then we took it one step further because it also included ratings and collecting evidence and said, you know what, that's not important. What's really important is that you have this conversation about what are we doing in these areas and what are we doing well and what do we need to work on. So we further condensed that tool so that it would foster dialogue. I'm going to skip that. So here's one of the ways that we sort of organize the assessment information across the four assessments to create conversations so they could identify their emerging strategic issues. So we pulled out data points from each of their sessions that seemed to kind of hang together. And we had several of these diagrams for each community. And then through this sort of facilitated consensus process, they really identified what they saw as the linkages and the issues and then named them. For formulating goals and strategies, they were over this two-year period. We were talking about policy, systems, environmental change, and it was always like, well, that's so theoretical, that's so intangible, and so we're always trying to find ways to make that concrete. And it was about midway through the second year of the grant that we were like, we need to find a more relatable way to talk about these things. And so the relational worldview model is a model by Cross and colleagues that is really about more of an indigenous perspective of health. So it's taking this concept of the traditional medicine wheel, which is thinking about four areas of individual health, of mind, spirit, body, and translating it to a community level. So you have the environment, the infrastructure, the community spirit, and resources. And within each of those areas, there's factors. And in this worldview model, it's really about finding balance of these things. It's not about targeting anyone. It's about when things are unhealthy or unwell, things are out of balance. So we need to look at addressing factors in each of these areas. And when we related it to this and started the conversation this way, they just kind of looked at us and they were like, duh, like, we know this. And so that's when we were like, okay, this was, I think, a big move forward and creating, looking at strategies and identifying goals and strategies that would really hit that policy systems environmental level. So the actual action planning process, every community did it a little differently. It was very open. They could select 1 to 4 issues, developed an action plan, created their own timelines, responsibilities. We really just provided templates, resources. We sort of their resource library. They would email or call us and say, you know, we're thinking about doing something about this. What do you know about that? And so we would gather all the information and send it to them in a package. We created sort of this action planning binder for them that had all those materials so that they could sit down in their meetings and not have to spend time searching for all that information. And they could really focus on the dialogue. We helped them draft objectives and reviews plans and provided feedback. So successes. We had enhanced partnerships at multiple levels. All of the local communities really said that their partnerships were strengthened, they were more formal, they could serve families better. I mean, these were really program staff to, and so they were saying, you know what, we know who to call now with this agency, or we never had a relationship with our local health department, and we have that now. There was mutual learning. In the CIRCLE model, one of the really important tenets is that the non-Native partners better understand tribal sovereignty and are better advocates and allies for Native communities. And this was really the key role of MPHI as the grant coordinator, is making sure we were going back to the funder and saying, you know what, what's important at the end of the day is that this process reflects what's important to the community. And so this is what we need to make this work for the tribes. You can see some of the other, and I think I'm probably running out of time, but and so I guess the last success I want to point out is the good public health practice. So this really got people interested and involved in this process of using data and the community engagement and the planning process to decide what really strategies were going to happen, rather than chasing grants or chasing opportunities that where there was funding, them being able to drive their own direction and create a vision of where they wanted to get, and doing that with data. Some of the challenges, timelines were really difficult. The program staff are extremely dedicated to their Healthy Start program, and so, you know, their services came before assessment and planning, as they should. There was a lot of complex technical concepts and engaging community members without a public health or a social service background was challenging, and constant feedback from the community staff was really important on what was being well received and what wasn't. Balancing the providing capacity building assistance and empowerment with technical assistance. There were times when we would say, well, what do you need? And if they weren't quite sure, we would provide something and they'd say, well, we don't need that. And then there were other times where we'd kind of just want to leave it really open and say, well, you do whatever you want to do. And they're like, no, we need more direction than that. So it was this constant kind of working through with them what would fit for them. And then I think I've probably covered this a little bit, but do priorities of the community come first? And that was really, I think, what was the key to the success of the project. Our role as a coordinating agency, being really an advocate and a liaison for the communities, being flexible and adaptable, communicating those key messages in training and technical assistance terms, and constantly changing the way that the message was formulated until we found something where we were speaking the same language, and then the importance of engaging community members at all phases in a very real way. So, and I'll leave it again with the wisdom of Thomas Peacock, he's an Ojibwe elder, that it's slow and difficult work, it's never easy, it takes the efforts of many courageous people, and patience is the key. So we're going to be patient, we're going to be courageous, and we'll get back on the good path. Thank you.